Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hi, everyone. Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, with a bit of a cold. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 21st, 2011, Episode 60, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, Jamie. So you got a cold, huh?
I was just caught napping right there, Glenn. Sorry. I got a little bit of a sinus infection. You know what? With all the freezing cold weather here in Phoenix, it was inevitable that I should get a winter cold. I mean, it got
those
down 70 to like
degree days. They're killers over there in Phoenix, aren't they?
Well, we had a low of like 55 yesterday, Glenn. Hello, that's freezing.
Okay, did you see what Robert Dunn, our friend up there in the North Country, posted up there? Was it Michigan? I think he's in.
No, he lives in the North Pole. He lives in the North Pole.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah. Up there in the North Country, he posted this morning. It was minus 15 this morning, and that is temperature, not wind chill.
Yeah. I don't feel sorry for you because you can't move. Like, why do you live there? Why do you people live in that frozen tundra? Literally, his next door neighbor is Santa Claus. I think that's dumb.
Yeah, we love you, Robert, but we're still not quite sure why you choose to live in that frigid cold. That's for sure.
I have no idea. But hey, I got some huge news, Glenn. Huge news.
What is it?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We passed the Western Show on Facebook Friends. What's up?
Yay!
We basically on Facebook, you know, for so long, there's been an ongoing competition between the Dressage Show and the Western Show on who would have the most Facebook friends. And they have trash talked in front of us, like, you know, without us even thinking about it. They trash talk, and you know what, not one of them considered that Horses in the Morning would ever surpass them in friends. And you know, we just sat there quietly, Glenn. We just sat there and let them do their trash talk, because I knew that our listeners are way better and more loyal and would pass us and give us more Facebook friends than them. So do you know what I propose that we do?
What are we going to do?
I propose that we call Tammy and Alan of the Western Radio Show and give them a little taste of their own medicine, because we were the new upstart show. They didn't even think about us. Let's get them on the phone. It's Freestyle Friday, Glenn. Freestyle Friday means we can do anything we want to. Anybody can call us with anything they want to talk about. We've talked about horses and dogs and cats. We've even got a pig posted on our Facebook page. So call right now, 347-637-3238. Anytime during the show, it's Freestyle Friday.
Well, let's hear from Jennifer first. Jennifer, why don't we hear what's on the show today, and then why don't you try and get Tammy and Alan out of bed. They're the hosts over there at the Western Radio Show, and it sounds to me like Jamie wants to do some smack talking today.
Let's keep in mind, we're going to be getting somebody out of bed, because I know Tammy is not a morning person who has lots of guns.
Oh, that's true. She is heavily armed.
She's heavily armed. So we're safe now because we're way far away from her. But the next time we see Tammy in person, please watch for bulges in the side of the jacket.
That's true. I forgot about that. She is a mounted shooter and has 155 world champion belt buckles on her wall. So apparently she can shoot straight, too.
Well, and you know, those belt buckles are really big. You could zing those across the room like a Frisbee and do some significant damage, you know?
I don't care. We are still far away from her, so we can get her on the phone this morning and trash talk her.
Yeah, it's just next month, you know? But anyway, on today's episode of Horses in the Morning Freestyle Friday, we'll be talking minis, you know? Those diminutive equine heartbreakers that conjure up visions of Thelwell ponies come to life. Yep, they're going to be here. And the Chronicle Report, our regular Friday fixture, will get us all up to date on the latest and greatest news from the horse world. And along the way, we'll be enjoying lots of feedback from our many 1,402 Facebook fans and coercing some crazy comments from our callers. And that's what we're up to.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Sounds like fun. Now get them on the phone. Get them out of bed. Call Tammy. Call Alan. We need to talk to them.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie,
and again,
we have a question. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say again, you know, you get what you give. So go ahead, Glenn. Let's hear something.
Well, I was just
going
to say, a couple things. While she's trying to round them up and get them out of bed, I wanted to give a shout-out to a couple people. One was our listener, Susan. You know who you are, Susan. I don't have to say your last name. I was just surfing around some of our listeners' Facebook pages today. And Susan, who I know listens to the show, posted on her – as her description on her Facebook page says, I'm a whiskey-drinking, mud-truck-driving, horse-riding, redneck granny. Keep up if you can. That's our listener right there. That's our kind of person. Susan, if you are listening this morning, give us a call. If you hear this recorded, call us one day next week. We want to hear from you, Susan. You're the kind of person we want to talk to. Whiskey-drinking, mud-truck-driving, horse-riding, redneck granny. That's who we want to talk to.
Granny, that's awesome. Wow. Yeah, you're my hero.
347-637-3238. And also, you remember on Zenyatta Day this week, what a week we've had. We've had such a fantastic week of shows this week. But on Zenyatta Day, we played the Zenyatta song that was written by Lisa G. Fly.
Uh-huh.
Louisa posted on our website. She said, thank you so much for playing my song and also for plugging my website. The song Zenyatta is not available on my website, but you can buy it at iTunes. So you can buy that at iTunes. So you just hop on over there and search for Zenyatta. And thanks again,
yeah.
And good luck with all those puppies. So you know she listened to the show because she talked about your puppies.
Oh, that's great. Well, Lisa, we do appreciate it. That song has been stuck in my head since I heard it about 4 months ago. And it just, you know, Zenyatta, Zenyatta, Zenyatta. That's all I keep hearing in my head.
You know which one was stuck in my head was Puppy Puppy 2 from yesterday. That was stuck in my head all day.
No, that was the weirdest song ever. Do we still have that? Can you play it?
I don't have it queued up anymore.
Oh, puppy, my puppy, gosh, boom. The creepy little girl singing about her puppy. I thought it was pretty creepy. But you guys loved it, so that's great.
Yeah, we liked it. You guys kind of freaked out on Puppy Puppy too.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, all the housekeeping I had to do.
Well, I want to let you know, Glenn, that we actually, speaking of Zenyatta, I think this is the coolest news story that I've read in a long time. You know, with Zenyatta going for Horse of the Year, there were so many people that did not think she was going to win. She lost last year to Rachel Alexandra, and this year she was up against Blame. She ended up winning to many people's surprise because just people just didn't think she was going to get it. But as an all-encompassing, getting everybody into racing, you know, exciting the entire world about horse racing, this mare really deserved Horse of the Year. Well, if you harken back to the movie Secretariat, of course, Secretariat, the great racehorse that won the Triple Crown in 1973, his owner is a woman named Penny Chenery, who that movie was kind of based around. Well, she has announced that Zenyatta will be the recipient of the inaugural Secretariat Vox Populi, which is the Voice of the People Award. She's decided that Secretariat, according to a release from Secretariat.com, you know, Zenyatta deserves a Voice of the People Award, and it is in Secretariat's name. She says it's the first of its kind in horse racing, and it's going to annually recognize a horse whose popularity and racing excellence best resounded with the American public and gained recognition for the sport during the past year. I just got goosebumps reading that. Penny Chenery is my hero. I love her, and I'm so glad that she recognized the fact that this horse, maybe, you know, even if she didn't win Horse of the Year, she was the voice of the people. She was the horse of the people this year, just like Secretariat was, just like Seabiscuit was, you know, and I think, you know, maybe up and coming Uncle Mo will be that horse too. So good for her. I'm so excited. You can read more at Secretariat.com.
You know, this really follows suit with who she is, because she, you know, she was the one that really brought Secretariat to the forefront and out to the people. She understands the importance of, you know, making racing accessible. And I just think it's great that she's doing this. And this will be, you know, this will become a bigger award every year than the Eclipse Awards. You know, it will just become a bigger award, you know.
I think it'll become extremely important to the people. I mean, just the fact that – sorry, puppies are barking. Just the fact that she says, you know, it's going to recognize a horse who's popular in racing, and that she also goes to say – quote, I think racing fans will be just as excited about this award as I am, and we welcome everyone to come and share in the presentation festivities on February 5th. The Mosses are going to get the award there. Now, the way that they did it this year, she chose it, but she wants to establish a whole group of people that will pick the recipient, and also invite the public to vote. So they'll be like, it's almost like American Idol, Glenn. We get to vote on our favorites. And it's kind of like Dancing with the Stars, where the judges get half the vote and the people get half the vote.
I think that's fantastic. I think that that's about darn time.
Speaking of American Idol.
Speaking of which,
did
you watch American Idol the other day? Are you an Idol fan?
I just ask you that. I watched last night for the first time, and if it's any indication how the first episode went and the second, I am, like, loving Jennifer Lopez. I'm sorry.
We didn't get to watch it, but I'm hearing through everybody the same thing you're saying is Jennifer Lopez is terrific on the show.
Are other people saying that? I didn't know that, but I just... She was, like, real and down to earth, and she was polite, and she was funny, and I just couldn't get enough. And without, like, Simon wasn't on the episode last night. They were in Louisiana. Simon wasn't there, and they were all having the best time.
You know Simon's off the show, right?
Oh, he's not there at all this year.
Right.
Really?
No, he's off. He quit. He retired.
Okay. So
you got Steven Tyler. By the way, let me say this. Is there any more ugly man in the world than Steven Tyler? He is hard to look at.
I'm going to name you one, and I'm going to probably get nasty emails about this. But I'm sorry, the lead singer of the Rolling Stones is ugly.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I think of them kind of, I get them confused sometimes, but I at least I love Aerosmith's music, but yeah, and the Rolling Stones are, in my opinion, the most overrated band of all time. That's totally off topic, but I thought they were awesome last night. The show was fun. There were some, like, moments that made me cry a little bit, you know, and apparently I'm not the only one, because apparently the night before that, everybody was sad, so it was pretty good. Uh-oh. Hey, guess what, Glenn?
What?
Tammy's on the phone.
let's go to Tammy then.
Good morning, Facebook fan with you. Well, I'm going to say Facebook
page. Let's talk about the Rolling Stones.
Don't
you know
change
what?
The subject.
I don't know what they look like.
Oh, you don't?
You don't?
No, I'm going to have to Google it. No, I don't. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if I should have even said that. No, I can't remember. I don't even know the songs they sing. That's how out of date I am.
Oh, no, you're not out of date. This is like a band from the 70s, so you're not out of date. But they kind of were parallel with in their careers, although I think Aerosmith made more recent music, but they kind of were parallel with Aerosmith in the 70s and 80s and 90s with music. But anyway, we were just talking about unattractive people. But listen, don't you get me off topic here, woman, because you guys...
How about the Cowboys?
You guys have less Facebook friends than we do. We have 1,401 friends. How many do you have?
I don't know. Enlighten me. I know it's less.
I'm going to look it up right now because, Glenn, do you have it in front of you how many they have?
Yeah, I do happen to have it right here.
Oh, Glenn, tell the information.
They have 1,376, so by my calculation, we're like thousands ahead of them.
We're like millions ahead. Hello. At least 25. So,
okay, let me see if I can get a hold of Alan, and I'll put him on the phone.
Funny, Alan wasn't answering this morning. Jennifer's been trying to reach Alan, and your partner, your co-host, bailed on you this morning. He is letting you take this
grief
all by yourself.
Yes, I heard that. I'm about to talk to him about half an hour, so I'll be sure and pass on the Facebook thing for him.
If you can get a hold of him, he's got his head in the sand right now. He's hiding.
No, he's probably busy inviting people.
Don't answer
the call.
He's got a campaign going right now.
You guys did so much darn trash talking with Chris over at the Jasaj Show.
And he doesn't let it go. I'm not blaming Alan all the time. Every time we finish the show and we're like, okay, you can check us out on Facebook. And then Alan's like, and be our friend because we got more friends. They're like, Alan.
Let it go, dude. I got to ask you a question. When you were doing all this trash talking, because you were involved in it too. You are not an innocent party. When you were doing this trash talking, I know, that was awesome. Did you ever think...
Judy on the morning show.
Did you ever think that horses in the morning would be a challenger? I mean, really?
Oh, honestly, you know, I think... Well, I don't know. Is that a yes or no question? Because I've got an explanation.
you can say yes.
I think you are because of the everyday, the more regular show that gets more friends and has more guests and people talk about it more, and it's doing so great. So, yeah, we're beaten.
Right answer.
We're whooped.
That was good.
Let me give them some support, though. The Western Radio Show is doing very well, especially since Tammy propped Alan up. Then we can talk about it because he's not here. So Tammy came in to the rescue and propped Alan up, and now it's doing so great. Do you know, Tammy, that we announced earlier this week on our show here at Horses in the Morning that Australia is the second largest listening country to Horses in the Morning of any of them? Isn't that amazing?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I really do miss Australia. I do. It's I love it over here, and I'll never go back, but... It's just, as soon as you get off the plane and I visit there, it's the grass is different and the trees are different and everything just has a little different twist about it. So I sure miss it. I'm going to go back this year and visit my mom, and my brother has two children I have never seen. One's, I think, 2 and 4. But, yeah, I need to go and see my nephews?
Well, you know what? If you want, Tammy... Apparently, the entire continent of Australia is listening to us right now, so you can go ahead and say hi to them right now, because I guess they're in front of their computer.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, well, except for my mom, because she is so computer literate, she doesn't even know what email is.
Okay, everybody but her, we say hi to.
Yeah, I've been trying to get her on the computer so we can talk on Skype, you know, and see each other and do the video-to-video thing. So she called me the other night. She's like, Tammy, I bought a computer. I've turned it on, and the buttons are flashing. What do I press now? I'm like,
oh, my
God. Oh, my
You're
gosh.
Probably going to have to get somebody who's there to help you, because it's really hard when I'm in Texas and you're in Australia for me to tell you how to get through a window.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
no,
that sounds like my
hopefully
mom.
Hopefully I get to talk to her soon.
My
Tammy
mom, Tammy, calls me. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yes. Jenny's mom does call the show here, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but she calls me after the show to go, now, somehow my iPhone, she bought an iPhone, and I have an iPhone, so she calls me and asks me how to use it while she's on it, and I'm like, Mom, just have to hit this button. Okay, let me call you back, and she hangs up, and then she'll call me back. That button didn't work. What do I do now? Like, I don't know. I'm not there.
Yeah, you know. Some people aren't best to stay with the times.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to say, too, that we found out from Jennifer's dad yesterday that he's listening to the show now, and he listens live. He listens every day, but he listens live sometimes. I guess his biggest complaint was that Jennifer doesn't get to talk enough. I think Jamie, that they think that we have Jennifer hogtied in there, you know, with a gagging or something, that we don't let her talk. But Jennifer can talk anytime she wants on the show. So, Tammy, what happened this week on the Western Radio Show?
On the Western Radio Show, we are we're about to record a show with Van Hargis, who is a Road to the Horse competitor, so that'll be really exciting. And I just had a mounted police on the show, and they talked about the police horses. And I know it wasn't very Western, but I was really interested in it. And they talked about how they trained the horses to do crowd control and just kind of the life of the mounted patrol horse and, you know, riding and shooting, and that was right up my alley.
Yeah, it was, and you know what? That was a good show. I listened to it yesterday. It's live now at westernradio.com. That's the one that just went up, and it was a good show. You guys did a good job, and I could see you itching to get out there and start shooting some, you know, helping with crowd control with those pistols attached to your hip.
Well, and they actually take people part-time, and I am, you know how busy I am, Glenn. I mean, I am at college, and then I have the radio show, and I'm training horses and showing. And the mounted officer said, well, we accept people part-time to help on the weekends. And I'm like, ooh, job. I'm like, Tammy, time management, better go. But that is something I would really love to do. But I don't know if I'm brave enough without my guns.
Tammy, thank you very much for putting up with. Thank you for putting up with Jamie's crap this morning. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And you know what? I'm really proud of you guys. You've done a great job, and it's really interesting. And I have listened to a lot of shows. I don't listen to them all because obviously I'm not a morning person, so I have to catch the ones that are already up and on the website. So.
I have one question for you, Tammy. One question. Are you a fan of the Horses in the Morning page?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. And I'm a fan on your Facebook, too. So, but I'm not a fan of the dressage show. I have to go back and click like now. That could
Thank
be my punishment
so
for getting beat in Facebook.
Well, thank
Bye,
you so
Tammy.
Much for calling in. Bye.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oops, I cut her off. Sorry about that, Tammy.
nice one.
I was a little too quick on the trigger there. Hey, there we have another caller on the line I'd like to talk to. I just mentioned her. She must have been listening in this morning. And we're happy to welcome Lisa G. Fly, the songstress that did the Zenyatta song that we played the other day. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Glenn. Thank
that
you very
so
much.
So nice of you to join us. This is terrific. You know, we had so much fun. I guess you listened to the show from what I understand from your little note. We had so much fun on the Zenyatta show the other day because we're such fans, and it was just a good day to celebrate.
Oh, well, she's so wonderful. You know, I just discovered you because it came across my Facebook page that you'd played my song, so I looked you up, and this is such a wonderful show. I did listen to it yesterday, and it was really great, and I really appreciate you playing my song. I'm glad you like it.
No problem. It was, you know, it was a perfect song to play that day. And we were just saying at the beginning of this show, it just stuck in our head. We couldn't get rid of it. That tune just sticks in your head.
Well, thank you very much. They say that's a sign of a hit. So.
Now,
oh, yeah.
You had something really cool happen as a result of you. First of all, tell us why you did the song. And then, you know, you just did it and put the video up on Facebook. You really didn't have any contract for it, right?
No, what happened, I have to tell you, is kind of an interesting story. I hate when people say that their story is interesting. I should let you be the judge of that. But my friend is Jack Vanberg. And he has done a lot to promote my songwriting and my music. And he, it was about not quite a year ago, he said to me, you should write a song about that horse. And my first response was, I couldn't. She's beyond the scope of my songwriting. And he just kept saying, you should write a song about her. Just go ahead, write a song about her, and I'll give it to Jerry Moss, which made me even more nervous. But I did. I wrote the song, and we recorded it. And Jack took it to Jerry Moss, and Jerry Moss called me the next day and said just what you said. That he loved it, and that he didn't say that, but he did, and that he couldn't get that out of his head, and did that mean anything to me, is what he asked me. and I said, yeah, that does mean something to me. So anyway, he bought the song right away, and he made the video.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So are we going to get sued by Jerry for playing
Jerry
the song?
Yeah, now is Jerry going to be
suing us? So I'm friends with his attorney. I think it's going to be okay.
Okay, good.
Okay, good. Shoot.
But he made that beautiful video. Yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't really want to brag too much about that Jerry Moss had signed the song and everything because it was really so over the top. And I pretty much just thought that people would realize that I didn't make that video in my garage. But so it's really just sort of starting to come out that Jerry Moss owns the song, and I'm very happy about that. I couldn't be more pleased. It's such an honor to be associated with not only Zenyatta, but with Mr. Moss as well.
We should clarify for people who don't know, he's only one of the top recording producers in history.
Yes, he is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as in the non-performing category. And he is iconic in the music industry. He is the M of A&M Records, and Herb Alpert is the A. But they sold A&M to PolyGram several years ago. And Herb and Jerry Moss started up Almo Sounds. But when Jerry bought Zenyatta, he started a new record company, and it's called Grade One Records. And so far, I'm the only artist on there, so.
Well, it's the great one. Great one. Hey,
yeah, so
I have a question. I read somewhere that the Moss has invited you to perform that song to Zenyatta. Tell us about that.
They did. For Zenyatta's going away party, you know, where they had a ceremony at Hollywood Park and 11,000 people turned out, which is a big crowd for us these days. And they brought Zenyatta over and paraded her around, and I got to sing Zenyatta in front of the grandstand in the winner circle.
Wow.
And it was a huge thrill. It was the biggest audience I'd ever performed in front of. And Zenyatta started dancing and pawing her foot in time to the music.
Oh, that's so cool.
There's video of it on YouTube. It's amazing.
Oh, I'm going to look it up. That's fantastic, Lisa. I'm so glad you called in. We will definitely play it again if it's okay with you. We got to get your permission, though.
I love it that you played it. Thank you so much. And I know yesterday you said about you were so kind to plug my website and everything. As Zenyatta, because of my independent music is on my website, but Zenyatta is not on there because I don't own that song now. Zenyatta is available on iTunes. And if you just search Zenyatta, and also the beautiful video that Mr. Moss made is on YouTube. So you just Google or just search Zenyatta and put in my first name, Liza, and it'll come right up.
All right,
gotcha.
Great. Well, Liza, it's so nice of you to call us this morning. This is so much fun. And, you know, you're welcome to call us anytime.
Oh, I would love to. I'm a new fan of your show. Thank you very much for having me.
And, you know, we should clarify, too, that you're a horse person. Let's clarify that.
Oh, yes. I started walking Hots for Charlie Whittingham in 1979. And I broke babies for the two-year-old in training sales, and I ended up back east galloping horses, and I rode my first race at the fairgrounds in New Orleans. And I was in New Jersey. I rode at Atlantic City when Julie Crone was the leading rider there. I won my first race, and I galloped horses for years and years. And just recently I was doing a stint for Jack Vanberg, and that's how he heard my songs. I picked up a guitar in the barn and started singing, and he helped me record my record, and his pony is the cover of my CD, my independent CD.
Well, that's
so,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that cool? Jamie used to work horses at the King.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I galloped for a little bit. I galloped for a couple of years, but my gosh, if you did it years and years, you are a tough woman, because you have got to be tough to gallop those big old racehorses and work on the backside and everything like that. It is definitely a man's world that women try to fit into, you know?
As John Paul Puchek used to say, it's no game for short pants.
Yeah, I guess I had some short pants.
Hey, who wrote the theme song on your show? I love it.
Well, that's actually our producer who does all our editing for all our shows and everything, Brian. And I just said one day, I said, we're going to start this new wacky show. I don't know if it's going to work or not. And it's working. But and we said, we just need a theme song that's kind of simple and fun in the morning. And it's all about horses in the morning because it's a very upbeat, lively show. And he came up with that. And I said, you know, that was his first take. And I said, that's it. Sold.
So, well, I'm so impressed that
yeah.
You even have one, and it's just perfect. So kudos to him.
Well, good. Thank you, and I'm glad to give Brian a shout out here today because he does a great job. He edits all of our shows. We have 8 different shows here in the Horse Radio Network that he edits every week, and he puts in a lot of time getting them all edited down and sounding good. So a shout out to Brian. He'll appreciate that. I'll make sure he knows you said that.
All right. Well, you guys, you have a new fan. Out here in California, it's a little early, but...
Good luck.
Well, good luck to you.
Well, that's cool.
Bye, Liza.
Again, we have a cool job.
Yeah, I love it.
We have a cool job. Well, this half hour is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. When horsemen were asked what they were looking for in a nutritional supplement for their horses, the answer was easy. One that is affordable, effective, and scientifically proven. Kentucky Performance Products took that message to heart and develop supplements that meet those horses' needs. All of their supplements, from Nalox Equine Antacid to Summer Gains Electrolytes and Joint Armor, are formulated based on sound research. They are affordable, and you can count on them to deliver results. Choose the right Kentucky Performance Products supplement for your horse. Go to kppusa.com or give them a call at 1-800-772-1988. To learn more about horse nutrition and interact with the experts at KPP, join their Facebook page. And I got to tell you, they put the most interesting scientific health-related information on their Facebook page. A couple of times a day, they will be posting things about vitamins and supplements and things that I haven't seen anywhere else. So if you really want to keep up, if you're a horse health fanatic, and I know that a lot of you are, I know Jennifer is probably the biggest horse health fanatic that any of us know, if you want to keep up on that kind of stuff, go to Kentucky Performance Products. Just search for that on Facebook and follow their Facebook page, and they will keep you up to date on the coolest stuff there. Well, Jamie, it is time for our first guest today. Actually, we've had a number of guests, but they've all been calling in. It's time for our first guest, scheduled guest today, and his name is Daniel Kreider, and he is with Sunset Mountain Minis. And, you know how I love conies and I love draft horses. I love them at both ends of the spectrum. And, there's nothing cuter, though, even cuter than ponies are miniature horses. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And the reason Jennifer got a hold of Daniel is not because he has miniature horses. A lot of people have miniature horses. It's what he does with his miniature horses that's so cool. And by the way, Jamie, I've always had on my bucket list is, you know how I'm a big driver and I love to drive. I want to drive a mini. I've never driven a mini in my life. So someday I want to drive a mini. So let's welcome Daniel. Let's welcome Daniel to the show. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning.
You were so glad you could join us today and talk about minis. How cool. How'd you ever get started with minis?
Well, we love horses, but the place that we have out here in Texas is small by Texas standards, and we knew we could not breed full-size horses. And, like, I think 25 years ago, we were driving through Arkansas, and we saw a ranch that had some small miniature horses, and we thought they were really cool. And when we first set up our place here around 2003, my wife Carla went, you know, let's try miniature horses. So we spent about a year researching the breed and the bloodlines and going to shows and thought, hey, this is going to be really great. And so we started and bought our first miniatures. We got five in 2003, and we've had a blast ever since. We're now up to a herd of about 20.
Wow. That's terrific. And now, so you do some incredible stuff with your minis, and you show them and things like that. But when we saw the video on your website, and we'll post a link to that on our show notes and our Facebook page, when we saw the video of your minis jumping, I mean, you know, first of all, how tall is a mini usually?
There are two registries in the United States that deal with miniature horses. One is AMHA and one is AMHR. The A registry has a maximum height of 34 inches, and miniature horses are measured in inches rather than hands, and you measure that at the withers. We have several minis that are 30 inches and under, including our world champion jumper, Larry, who stands 30 inches tall.
That's so cool. You know, and Larry jumps big. I mean, you know, for a mini, he's jumping some pretty good heights.
He has cleared as high as 44 inches in competition, which for a 30-inch horse is not bad at all. In fact, it's the same thing as if you had an Olympic full-size horse jumping over an 8-foot jump proportionally is what it is to see him go over a 44-inch jump. So it's huge, and he actually cleared 4 out of 5 44-inch jumps for setting a record worldwide, really, in 2009 when he won one of his championships as a jumper. He now has 4 world championships and 2 reserve championships, and some of his YouTube videos have well over 65,000 hits on them. He is popular worldwide because he just loves to jump, and he just flies going over those things.
And, Jamie, you know what's amazing is he has a 6-foot rider on him when he's doing it. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, right.
No, the miniatures do not have a rider. Part of the fun that we have in training jumper, and jumper is only one of several performance things that we do out here, it actually helps us stay in shape, too, because the handler has to run beside the horse on a short lead line when they jump. Normally in competition you have 7 jumps. The pattern changes every competition, and so you've got some turns to the left and some to the right, and some of them are very sharp where you've only got like 2 or 3 feet to get ready for the jump. Some of them are in and outs where you've got 2 jumps in a row with only about a 6-foot distance between. It will help keep you in shape, and it is a blast.
Now, Jamie, you said you have a mini that lives near you, right, that you actually have driven before?
Oh, yeah. My friend down the road has a mini. Actually, she was an orphan foal. And now I wonder if you've done this before. Hold on. Boomer! Sorry. there you go. They had an orphan mini foal, and she raised it, and she actually raised it in her bedroom, and because you have to feed them every 2 hours, she was feeding this thing, and it was in bed with her, so it's the sweetest, most loving mini, and we hook her up and drive her all around the neighborhood. It's hysterical. They just trot, 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 trot. I mean, huge trot.
We love driving. We have several driving horses here. We also have one of our driving horses as a world champion. She won a first championship last year. There are several different kinds of driving done with the miniature horses. Some of them are what's called country pleasure and classic pleasure. Those are where they're just kind of trotting around the ring, and they have to respond to your commands and be under control and show different gaits. And then you've got single pleasure, where the horses have to lift their feet very, very high, again, under very good control. And you've also got events where you've got multiple hitch, where you'll have 2 or 3 or even 4 miniature horses. I guess by the time you get up to 4 miniatures, you're up to about half a horsepower, where you'll pull a larger cart or a carriage or some sort.
That's funny. Jennifer, was it Minnie's that that used to drive, used to pull the Calliope in the driving club we used to belong to? Was that Minnie's or ponies?
I think they were actually Shetland ponies. I don't think they were Minnie's. They were pretty stout. They were small stature, but they were a very drafty little pony, and I think a little bit too tall for Minnie's.
Go ahead.
And they have a very interesting history in that they, of course, they're too small for anyone to ride unless you've got a child that's like less than 50 pounds. But they were originally bred to actually pull coal carts in coal mines. So these are very powerful pullers, and especially if they're in shape and been trained well and in good condition, you can certainly have one pull 300, 400 pounds for many hours without any problems. They're very powerful pullers.
Well, there you go. Now, I was reading some of the all about Minnie's on your website there, and they've kind of separated like many, many breeds. There are two types. Like in quarter horses, you have the ranch style quarter horses, you have the racing quarter horses, and then you have the pleasure quarter horses. And if you stand three champions next to each other, they almost look like completely different breeds, and that's starting to happen, you said, more and more now with the Minis. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, the AMHA is the one that we are doing the most with, and they actually have a breed standard where when they started back in the 70s, they actually had two types officially. They had a draft Mini and a Mini that was more like a quarter horse. But the last really 10, 15 years, the breed standard has gone where they have deliberately tried to achieve a horse that looks much more like an Arab. And you really want to have a horse that if you had a picture of this Mini and you didn't have anything in the picture to give you any kind of a reference, you would think you were looking at an Arabian horse. They have dishy foreheads. They have very long legs. They're very elegant. They really no longer have a pony appearance at all. Which is quite a change from their original roots, which were mostly Shetland originally.
Mm-hmm. Huh, how interesting. And that's just form-following fashion in that the ways to show your Minis, those divisions that require a lighter animal have become more popular. Therefore, the breeders are providing that to the people who want to have a Mini to show.
That's right. And the history of the breed, it's actually, you could say, I guess, that these horses are kind of the mutt of the horse world. It is a closed registry and an official breed now. But to develop the breed, they combined genetics from a lot of different horse lines. Most of the American miniatures that are out there are anywhere between 65 and 85% Shetland. But many of them also have Falabella in them. Many of them have Hackney, Welsh Pony. Thoroughbreds were crossed in, Dartmoor, all kinds of things to come up with the American miniature horse that's out there now.
Well, that makes sense. When I think of Mini, I think of Thoroughbred. Sure. I do have a question for you. I'm reading here that you guys do, you do the jumpers, which if you guys have got to see this video of this horse jumping, it's phenomenal. But you've also done Hunters, Liberty, which obviously is, having the horses loose and they do stuff, different types of driving. But I want to ask you about Halter Obstacle. Now, when I think obstacle, I think of like the dog agility where you run them around and they have to like go through the little chute and climb up on the seesaw, teeter-totter thing. Is that kind of what Halter Obstacle is with a Mini?
Very similar. It's a lot of fun. We are really excited about a new Halter Obstacle horse we're training for this year. The Halter Obstacle course is an obstacle course for the miniatures. And, of course, horses, as you know, are pretty much big cowards. So you're going to have things that they've got to go through where they'll have to go over teeter-totters, they'll have to go over bridges, they have to walk through either real water hazards or simulated water hazards with tarps. One of the more challenging things for many of them is that you will often have a place in the course where you as the handler have to park your miniature horse by basically dropping the lead on the ground, and you have to sit down and read a few pages out of a book, and your miniature is supposed to be well-behaved enough to stand there and let you do that. And then there's some other places where you have to demonstrate your control over the horse, where you will have to back the horse into a very tight space and possibly back it around a 90-degree corner. Other places where it's got to step over several poles without touching any of them. So it's an obstacle course they've got to go through. And not only do they have halter obstacle, they've actually got another version of it that's driving obstacle, where you do similar things when you're driving a cart. So it's a lot of fun.
That's the next Olympic sport. I'm telling you, I can see it now. Minis.
That's awesome.
Minis driving obstacle courses. That's fantastic.
That's great.
That does sound like fun, you know.
Yeah, you've got to make sure the horses are very calm, very well behaved, and they've got to respond very precisely to your commands on where to put their feet and how to move and when to stand still and when not to.
You know, Jennifer, did you tell us about, you were telling Jamie and I about an agility, this is sort of like mini agility, where dogs and horses together or something that was new?
Oh, that was me. I saw that.
Yeah, that was something Jamie came across.
Oh, really?
It was really cool. It was, you know, you've got the horse, and the horse does a show jumping course, and then the dog runs around and does an agility course, and I think they combine the times. So not quite minis, but they could do it with, like, a full-grown horse and then a miniature horse back-to-back. That's the next sport.
Sounds like fun.
No, or I'm picturing it actually with the dog and the horse working in tandem with the mini, working in tandem on the same agility course.
Even better.
We do have some dogs out here at our small ranch, and it's very interesting to watch them play with the miniature horses. Many times the dogs will be on one side of the fence and the horse will be on the other, and they'll decide it's time to exercise, so they'll run up and down the fence line together.
Now, I see also on your website that you're doing some really cool, great stuff with the minis, too, in the way of therapy.
We love taking our miniature horses out in public to church events and public events. And a lot of other folks, not just us, also take these horses into nursing homes and into children's hospitals. They are very welcome at these. The miniatures, you know, are trained to be quiet and to be well-behaved, and it just makes a huge difference to especially anybody whose life has been touched before by horses, and they're inside a facility and they can't get outside, and now they get the chance to actually touch one. We had a blast, especially with Larry, at a nursing home not too long ago, where he came and a lot of folks got the pet on him, and then he went outside and did some jumping for them, and they were just thrilled to death.
That must have been really cool. Yeah. Hey, I've got another question for you. With minis, obviously they have a standard, just like every breed does. And something
right.
I've always been curious about, because you see a lot of minis that families have. It's the first pony. And sometimes they're pretty funny-looking little minis. Is smaller always better?
Technically, in the AMHA, yes, it is, but the caveat there is it's got to be a well-proportioned horse. You want to make sure that, you know, I'm sure you have seen several, we would call them lawn ornaments, family pets that are very much loved, but these are horses that are more pony or sometimes even dwarf, that have very short legs.
Their bellies are hanging on the ground, they're so fat.
Yes, that's right. And that's obviously not what the breed standard is for the American miniature horse. They are out there, and they're much loved as pets, but the breeders are actually striving for something, again, that if you take a picture and there's nothing in the picture to give you any reference to how big the horse is, you'd think you were looking at an Arabian or a Thoroughbred.
So I'm guessing that the halter class would be a confirmation class.
Absolutely.
And because of the risk that dwarfism can become prolific within the breed because you're trying to breed down, are there any special things that a judge in a halter or confirmation class would be looking for? For example, with dog shows, when you have a bench show, in almost every breed, the judge peels open their lips and looks at their teeth to make sure they've got a good bite. Is there anything special that you would see a judge looking for or doing in a confirmation class with minis that you might not see if you were in a confirmation class with a standard-sized breed?
I don't think so. I have not actually shown halter in any of the full-sized horses or seen that, but the things that you're doing in the miniature horse shows for halter, the horse has to trot in front of the judges to show that it can move well, and it's
oh.
it, you know, certainly fine, no problems there. The horse, the judges do look at the teeth. You have several judges that will come by and judge each one. Most of the halter classes, of course, do focus very heavily on conformation. They're also going to focus to some degree on how well the horse is behaving for the handler. The horse has got to show itself well. And then you've also got some of the halter classes that are going to be focused on things like color, where they will not only be looking at conformation, they'll also be looking at the color. So, yes, it's got to be a very healthy, well-proportioned, well-groomed horse. And the grooming on these things is just unbelievable. My wife does the grooming for us on ours, and they get shampooed and bathed and brushed and all kinds of stuff. They come out, they are clean.
Just throw them in the washing machine. They're little.
I don't think they would care for that. Sometimes they don't even like being clipped or washed, but they usually put up with
that's,
it.
That's the pony part of their heritage.
Yep.
Well, you know, thank you so much for being a part of Horses in the Morning and letting us know so much about minis. Daniel, where can people get a hold of you? Where can people find pictures of your minis and take a look at what you got going on?
Well, thank you for asking. We love being on. Our website is www.sunsetmountain.com with mountain spelled M-T-N. So that's S-U-N-S-E-T-M-T-N.com. And we also have a lot of videos of Larry out on YouTube. You can find our YouTube channel is Sunset Mountain Miniatures. Or if you go out to YouTube and use YouTube search engine and search for Larry Horse Jumping, you will find several of his videos out there jumping.
All right, Larry Horse Jumping. I love it. And my stepdad's name is Larry. I can't wait to show him all these videos.
Yeah.
Well, have a great week. Have a great weekend, Daniel. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Daniel.
Give Larry a sugar-free peppermint for us or something.
Okay, will do.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, man. Hey, Glenn, I just sent you some emails. I need you to check it, and you might want to post it on Facebook because you're going to
absolutely
die.
Well, that picture is incredible. He's got an underbite.
This, I sent Glenn a picture of when I was working for the veterinary hospital, Durango, here in Phoenix. We actually went out and looked at a horse, and the next door neighbor to the horse was this dwarf mini. And I went in there, and I was like, oh, my gosh, he's so cute. And I took a picture with him, and then he turned around and chased me out of the stall, like attacked me, ran me out of the stall. I could send you the vicious picture of him. It turns out he was a little stallion, and here I am like, oh, hello, little pony. Come on, play with me. Then I turn around, and the sucker goes wild. So I'll have to send you that one as well. He's chasing me. I was photographing him. So, yeah, good time. Well, hey, we do have a sponsor for this half hour, Glenn, and we'll post those pictures up on Facebook shortly. This song, we have a song to play, of course, and the song this half hour is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines, wormings, farriers, dentist visits, together and easily accessible. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events, like when your horse is due for shoes and when you need to give them shots again. You can check them out at pocketstable.com or just search for it in your iPhone. Now we've got Happy House by Templeton Thompson.
Is a rest. wellness, holding up a welcome sign. Coffee's on, come on by. Our happy house, just sticks and stones. It's a real good place to take it slow. Just kick on back, and before you know, you'll find yourself right at home. A happy house built on love, filled with dreams and that's the stuff. Our happy house got three good dogs and a scratch on the head is all they want. There's a lesson there, take it all in stride. Life's good, joy's right. Our happy house built on love, filled with dreams and that's the stuff. And every day I'm more amazed falls into place. Our happy house by the riverside, where the cottonwoods and the bluebirds fly.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson and Happy House. And, of course, you can buy all of Templeton Thompson's music at templetonthompson.com. Well, our next guest up, we have the Weekly Chronicle Report with Lisa. And I think Lisa's here. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you?
Good. Now, Lisa, I know you're in Virginia. But yep. I wanted to say that we were talking about the weather. We have some of our avid listeners that are from the North Country, and they were talking about how it was minus 15 this morning. Well, Katie Livingood, who I'm not sure where she's at. I'm taking a look here. I can't remember off the top. But she said she looked at her thermometer just a little bit ago, and it was minus 24.
Oh, so. That sounds awful.
Yes, it does. Virginia, not that cold, is it?
It's not that cold. It's not that warm either, though. But fortunately, the snow seems to have missed us yesterday, which I'm pretty happy about.
Wait. Now, you just said that it wasn't cold, but there's snow on the ground. You're crazy.
No. There's no
cold.
Snow. No snow.
Oh. Fortunately.
I think we were supposed to get some last night, but we didn't. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Now, we got it for you, Lisa.
Oh, really?
Here in Lexington. Yeah, we have a winter wonderland outside again. I'm hearing the spinning tires down at the restaurant. So.
Did you get a lot of snow?
Yeah, we got about. We get in Lexington, we're consistent. We get 3-4 inches each time it snows. We never get more, and we hardly ever get less. It's always just 3 or 4 inches every time it snows. So, but they don't do anything to the roads here, so it gets packed down in ice. And you know, they don't. We like 2 snow trucks in all of the county. So you never get the roads. So I know you didn't call to talk about cold and snow. I'm not even sure what we are talking about today.
It's a surprise. Well, this week, actually, we launched a new series on our website, and we ran the first article in our magazine as well on January 17th. And it's a series about nutrition, equine nutrition, of course. I thought I would talk about maybe the first one of those and then mention what we have coming up in terms of the rest of the series, because it's going to be going on for, I think, 8 weeks.
Okay.
So the first story that came out in the series is about protein, which I thought was pretty interesting because I don't know, you know, I'm sure a lot more people are more scientific about this, but I usually just, you know, feed my horses some kind of food I think is good, and if they seem to be in pretty good weight, I don't really think that much else about it. But this series is kind
that's
of
that's probably about 95%.
Yep. Not too fat, not too thin. I must be doing okay, at least. This series kind of gives you a little more education about it, which I think is pretty interesting. So this one, that the first one that came out, just talks about protein. And first of all, it talks about what protein is, which I thought was pretty interesting. And it talks about the role of protein in horses. And I always assumed that protein was basically energy. And that's not really the case. Protein can serve as an energy source, but it does so very poorly. Its main use is to rebuild muscles and tissues in the horse. So that wasn't something I knew. I thought that was pretty interesting. So when you feed your horse protein, you're not thinking about, oh, this is going to make them, you know, fat, or, you know, they need less protein because they're too fat. Really what protein does is it focuses on rebuilding. So if you have a horse that's in a lot of hard work, they need more protein because they need more rebuilding of muscles and tissues because those things break down with a lot of exercise. And similar to, you know, broodmares also need a lot more protein, and weanlings need actually the most out of any horses, which I thought was kind of interesting. So it has a protein guideline in this article, and for just your average pleasure horse, you know, maybe going out on the trails a couple times a week, 8% is sufficient. If you have a performance horse in light work, that would be 10% protein. A performance horse in intense work is 12%. It's 12 also for young horses, like, you know, 1 to 3 years, and lactating broodmares. And then for yearlings, it's 13%, and for weanlings, it's 14%.
Those numbers are much lower than what you heard 10 years ago.
Yeah, really. That's kind of
very interesting that the research has changed it that much. Now, you might not be the best person to ask this, but it might be something that was covered in the articles that you guys are doing.
Yep.
Is it true that if your horse's stall has a very, now we're assuming that it's a clean stall,
yep,
has a strong ammonia odor, you need to see if your horse is getting too much protein?
That is true. It did say that in this article. It says, you know, although they used to say that too much protein in a horse's diet would make their kidney function, you know, they would damage their kidneys, basically. That's not actually true.
Really?
But if they do have too much protein, that is the case. You know, their urine starts to smell more and more like ammonia because it's been, I guess, excessive nitrogen that's being excreted.
Yeah, and then the little bugs get into it and turn it into ammonia, and it makes the place stink.
Yep.
And on that one, a very interesting statistic I read in about a million years ago in this magazine, that if you were to take a ammonia testing device that tests ammonia vapor,
yep,
which are very expensive, or I was going to buy one, but they're very, very expensive to buy, and test the amount of ammonia actually in the air at knee height of your horse, like you go in your stall and the horse's stall smells ammonia-ish, if you were to actually test that air, it is many, 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 many times higher than what the OSHA will allow a human to be exposed to.
Whoa.
In the workplace.
That's interesting.
So if you smell ammonia in your stall, you are doing your horse's lungs and sinuses some serious disservice.
Wow, that's good to know.
Yeah. It was just weird. I thought, wow, I didn't realize that because, you know, we find it offensive.
Yeah.
But to realize that it's actually, over the years, damaging your horse's body, that was,
yep,
that was pretty strong stuff. So I'm a real, I love my stall fresher now because in the summertime when they're eating grass, it's pretty much a chronic problem, the ammonia.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm real big on my stall refresher now.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing is this article also talks about, unfortunately, figuring out how much protein your horse is getting is a little bit of a math problem. I say unfortunately because I don't like math.
yeah, you go, girl.
It says that fresh pasture has 23 to 28% protein. That's, you know, spring and summer grass, while autumn grass only has 14 to 18% protein.
Hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. And then it talks about hay as well. Hay has, you know, 6 to 10%. And that's just your regular, like, grass hay. But if you're feeding alfalfa hay, that has 20% protein. So I guess what you're, you know, the ideal thing to do is to figure out, you know, first of all, you know how much grain your horse gets, and, you know, that protein amount is on the bag. So you can figure out how much protein they're getting from that and then sort of try to figure out how much protein they're getting from grass and hay on top of that to figure out if they're getting enough.
So I guess the next question to ask there is, and having been in the retail industry and sold a lot of horse feed to a lot of people, when you read your bag, if your bag only tells you crude protein and
yep.
doesn't give you guaranteed results of digestive protein, again, you could be really fooling around with what he's really getting, because just because it says crude protein doesn't mean he can actually physically digest it and use it for building muscle, hair,
right.
et cetera, that
right.
a horse is supposed to do. Is that the way it works?
I guess that's the way it works. This doesn't talk that much about that particular aspect of it, and I unfortunately don't know very much about it. But that makes sense. I mean, you think about how much of anything you eat that you can, you know, successfully metabolize, and it's not all of it.
Right, yeah, because
so
I know that somebody did a test, and it might have been Purina many, many years ago. They took boot leather, the leather that is used to create the soles of boots.
Yep.
And they tested it for protein, and it came out to, you know, like 10% protein or something.
Wow.
Something that was equivalent to an inexpensive horse feed. And they said, you can get the same crude protein from a piece of tanned leather.
Right.
That doesn't, you know, so buying those feeds for the extra couple of bucks that have the guaranteed analysis of which proteins, how
yep.
much taurine and how much lysine and stuff.
Yep.
If you have a horse that genuinely depends on that grain for his essential amino acids, that's kind of a smart way to go.
Right.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? You guys are totally wearing me out. I'm trying to think, like, okay, am I feeding my horse the right thing? What kind of protein? I'm just going to buy name brand. I'm sorry. I'm just going to buy Purina. They've all done all the research for me. It's all there on the bag. I don't have to read it. You just give them what they, you know, the best way to feed your horse is to look at them and see if they need more or less.
Yep.
That's what I go with.
I'm going to throw a plug in here for FeedXL. Go to FeedXL and
That's
give them
right.
a try. They'll tell you exactly what you need to feed, and they even go into the proteins and the feeds and which feed would be the best. So I just throw the plug in.
And this series was actually, we have some of our web series that are sponsored by companies, and this one was sponsored by Nutrina. So, of course, I have to throw in a plug for Nutrina, too.
And they have quite a
oh,
few
yeah.
feeds that have those guaranteed analyses on the back.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, those name brand feeds where they're huge companies. You know, here in Arizona, we've got 40 different feed companies right around this area. And what I like about those name brand feeds is if I travel with my horses, I can get the same feed anywhere.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
what I like about that. And you can maintain pretty good consistency. And they have spent millions, Nutrina and Purina and all those big name brands, they've spent so much money on research, and it just seems to me like a logical course.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep.
And it does say, you know, you can sort of look at your horse and tell, you know, if your horse is really deficient in protein, they will look poor. You know, their skin or their hair is going to look sort of dull. They're not going to be building muscle. They're going to be sort of, you know, weak looking. And horses that are super deficient in protein actually can't focus very well, which I thought was interesting.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
I feel
that's
like a
what
steak
my
now.
Horse. That's what's wrong with Glenn. He's protein
yep.
deficient.
Lisa, that was great. You know, you guys have so many good articles on there right now. Jennifer was commenting this morning before the show on the article Surviving the Pre-Purchase Exam. And
yeah,
and
that was a really good one, too.
Yeah, there's so many good articles you have coming up right now, and I was really sad to see that there's another steeplechase bite in the dust. There's so few steeplechases out there now, and Jennifer
yeah.
and I love steeplechases, and their Maryland Steeplechase Association announced that the Marlboro Hunt races are not going to be run this year because of land problems.
Yep.
I just think that's sad. They're so much fun to go to and watch.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those things that, you know, I think they've talked a lot about how racing everywhere has suffered. You know, even flat racing is having a pretty hard time. So it seems like steeplechase kind of follows that same.
Yeah. All you football
problem.
Fans out there, you can thank steeplechasing for the tailgate tradition.
That's
really,
right.
You know, because that's what it's all about. You tailgate at steeplechase races.
Yep.
There's most of the time there's no betting. It's just a big old picnic.
Yeah.
So, you know, that will be sorely missed, and hopefully next year they can get things worked out and be back on the calendar.
Yeah, I hope so. That's what it says, that they're trying to find a way. But we got good news with the horse show this week. If you guys have been watching on our website, we were really sad because the World Dressage Masters in Florida was canceled. But due to a lot of hard work from some people, especially Stefan Peters and Akiko Yamazaki, who's Revell's owner, they worked really hard, and they managed to get it back here. So it's in a different location, and it's a different date, but there will be a U.S. World Dressage Masters. So that's very exciting.
Dressage clap.
You can, but the problem with dressage claps is you can't hear them on the air.
Well, that's why I told you I was doing it, you know?
A dressage clap is equivalent to, like, a blank stare.
Yeah,
and then you know you
ooh, special.
Oh. we've cut down the Western show today. Now we're going to have the dressage show. Chris calling us here. We're going to be in rough shape today.
No,
you can't clap at a dressage show. Those people, they'll get so mad at you. You got to be quiet. Be quiet.
Yeah.
But I respect that. That's cool. Whatever you do, go with it.
That's how they invented air above the ground.
Yep.
Everybody said it was war, but not really.
You said that this was a multi-part series that they're doing?
It is. This was just the first one. I'm not exactly sure what the next one is, but I know we have coming up one of the biggest questions people always ask is how to keep weight on a hard keeper. We're going to have one about that.
Oh.
We're going to have one about feeding horses that have allergies, feeding horses that are prone to ulcers, one about high-fat diets, which is kind of a big thing, or has been for the last couple years, I think, and then talking about alfalfa hay and complete feeds versus feeding straight grains. So a lot of good stuff coming up in the next couple weeks that we'll have on the website.
Cool.
All right. Terrific. Well, Lisa, we're not going to be with you next week because we have a recorded show next Friday because we're all heading to Philadelphia to the American Equestrian Trade Association show up there. And we're going to be actually recording live from there. We're going to be putting the show out live. Yeah, the following Monday, which is the 31st, we'll be live from the wholesale show. And we'll be talking to all kinds of people about new products coming out and things like that. And
very
Jamie
cool.
and Jennifer and I will, for the first time in Horses in the Morning, record the show together. We're going to be together to do it.
Yay!
Yeah. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. So we're going to miss you next week, but we'll catch up with you then the following week.
Yep, that sounds good.
All right, thanks, Lisa. You have a great weekend.
All right, thank you, you too.
Did you guys hear Boomer?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
He wants to go to Philly, too.
He knows how to fly,
You're going to miss your puppies when you're in Philadelphia.
I know. They're a little bit wild right now, so I picked up Zenyatta, and she's sitting in my lap, and, dude, she stinks. She needs a bath.
I want to follow up on next week, on a little bit about the schedule for next week. We do have a lot going on. We're going to be live Monday through Thursday, and Jennifer, as usual. By the way, we have to give Jennifer we're going to give her more than a golf clap. You have done the most terrific job of bringing us the widest variety of guests ever on a show. It's terrific. So thank you very much for that. It's great. And then next week we're going to be talking a little bit about the trade show. We're going to be talking a little bit about horse products. We have Molly the Pony's Mom coming on, and everybody, if you don't know Molly, you will. I think almost everybody in the horse world knows Molly. We're going to get an update on how Molly is doing. We also have, remember I mentioned a couple weeks ago, somebody went over the $4 million mark in reining. That was, and I think we're going to have Sean Florida on, who is one of the top reiners out there. And Dr. Oakley's coming back with the Love Doctor segment, and Shauna Koresh and Team Penning. We just have a whole bunch of different stuff. I do want to mention that Friday of next week, the recorded show, we are actually recording that today, and we're so excited to be talking to Trish Lynn. Trish is a musician and an artist, and this is going to be our monthly highlight show for a musician that's also a horse person. And she runs a rodeo act as well, and they are entertainers, and she does a terrific job with all of it, and we're just looking forward to chatting with her, and we'll have that for you next Friday. So we have an exciting week coming up, and a week from today, I'll be driving right about now, actually, to pick Jamie up at the Philadelphia airport, and I am so looking forward to seeing you for a weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun. I could pick about 1 million places I'd rather be than Philadelphia at the end of January, but at least you guys are going to be in it with me. So we'll just have to dress for the weather accordingly.
Yes, you will. And, of course, we have to mention that Helena B. will be there as well. So the four of us will be pulling down the fort at our booth at the ADA and recording a lot of stuff. We'll be recording for the Tack and Habit show as well. Wanted to mention a couple of the other shows we have, and I know Jamie's voice is leaving her, so I'll try and do a little bit of talking here. Well, a couple of the other shows we have, Chris had Edward Gow on the Dressage show this week. You want to listen in to that. On the Tack and Habit show this week, we had a lot of fun over there on Tack and Habit. You're going to want to tune in. Jennifer was proofing the show yesterday by listening to it. Somebody always proofs the show. And she came in just cracking up in the middle of it and said, this was so funny this week. So check out the Tack and Habit show as well as all the other shows on the network at horseradionetwork.com. There's one story that I want to mention, and then we're going to call it a day. It was they call it the Ski Stampede. And what it is they get a bunch of cowboys who are used to riding, you know, horses, and they have the annual Bud Light Cowboy Downhill at the Steamboat Ski area in Colorado, and it is the funniest picture ever. I'll post it on Facebook. And they have these real cowboys trying to ski down this downhill, and it's for time. And the picture is of all these cowboy hats and skis everywhere, cowboys falling down. It is funny. So I'm going to have to post that on Facebook. It was on Steamboat Today from Steamboat Springs in Colorado.
There's one guy on the ground, and the other guy is like launched a couple feet into the air. So this is funny. Cowboys on skis. Who would have thought?
It must be a riot. We've had so many comments on Facebook this morning, I can't even talk about them all. I really can't. So check out Facebook. Just head over to our page on Facebook, Horses in the Morning, and you'll find us there. And don't forget that our show notes also can be found at horsesinthemorning.com with links to all of our different guests. Well, Jamie, you have a great weekend. I hope you get better, that your voice comes back by Monday, because we really enjoy having you here on the show. So we hope that that your weekend is good.
Been a great one. Goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmet all weekend long while you're riding.
Bye, everybody. I'm trying to find the closing music, so I'm killing time. There it is.